World Cricket Weekly Talk is a Titan GSG production.
That is a terrific shot.
Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to another edition of World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. On today's show, IPL 5 is up and running, the cheerleaders are back, but is the big money Indian circus losing its appeal? Also this week, still number one, England square the series in Sri Lanka to end the winter tours on an optimistic note. And fresh direction, Ravin Murthy is the new president of Cricket Canada. We'll chat to him about his plans for the game in the Great White North. All that and more this week here on World Cricket Weekly Talk. Another busy show on the way. To help me get me through it is my co-host, Canadian World Cup batsman Zubin Sukari, just back from a weekend on the West Coast where I gather the weather was spectacular. And it was an important time because it was the Canadian Cricket Annual General Meeting, a gathering of the minds and perhaps a changing of the old guard. And we'll talk to the new president later in the show. But did you come away from this annual gathering with a positive feeling about the future?
I did, actually. Cricket Canada has had its issues and had its problems with the personnel that's been there. But the CEO that's in place now, Ravin, obviously coming on board and moving in the right direction, and now the plans are kind of coming together.
Is it more evolution than revolution? I mean, can we look back, do you think, in 5 or 10 years' time and say that was the moment at which Cricket Canada moved into the 21st century?
It's hard to say. The bottom line is that you've got probably the best people in decision-making roles and who've been around and have the laps and have been through what has been a pretty tough period of time. You know, definitely good news as far as Cricket Canada is concerned.
You're the players rep on the executive. Did you get what you went for on your laundry list?
Yeah, I think I started out with a few things I wanted to tick off and probably steamrolled into some other things and opinions and what I think should happen. You know, I've voiced these things before. I don't think I changed my report from last year to this year all that much. But it's a point where, you know, you're getting somebody to listen to it and getting it executed. So,
how does the relationship between you and the new president now change? Because presumably you guys get along. Now he's in a position of power. Do you now have to defer to him because he's the president? Or is it important to continue the relationship that you've had over some time?
No, I don't think much is going to change. Our relationship is fairly the same. I don't really look at him as second VP or VP or now the president. He's just somebody that I went to that seemed to have all the answers and or at least would get me somewhere. And he seemed to be the point guy.
Is there growth afoot, do you think, with what happened in Vancouver, that not just at the elite level, Zub, but perhaps more importantly over time, at the grassroots level, there is an interest and a pathway forward for young, aspiring Canadian cricketers?
I think there's always been an interest. It's whether or not the plan of actually getting these kids to the national team or how do we get these kids to the national team has always been the issue. There's heavy discussion about junior cricket and junior development, and there always has been. I think maybe there's more of a plan in place this time. You know, now you have somebody who's probably going to look at this more specifically and be very, very courteous towards junior development and knowing the importance of it.
In future weeks, we will talk to the new CEO. Later in this show, we'll talk to the new president himself and hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Let's look around the world. IPL 5 underway. Word on that in a moment. The opening shots and one or two surprise scores. England have wrapped up what can almost be termed a wretched winter series. Of course, people think back to what happened in the Middle East against Pakistan. But I think they got some salvation and a little bit of pride back in the second test against Sri Lanka, tying the series at one apiece, and a dominant England performance in Colombo. But it's been a while coming, hasn't it?
It has. But again, it's tough conditions for a team like England to face. They've come across, when they played against Pakistan, they played against some very good spinners. And again, they came up against it in Sri Lanka, which I think is one of the toughest places to play cricket in terms of the weather and the pitches and the type of bowling you come across. And Sri Lanka has played some very, very good cricket lately. And so it's been a good fought series. I thought Mahela has been phenomenal. One of the guys who around the world probably doesn't get enough credit in all forms of cricket, actually. But England to come away from this with a win is pretty impressive.
And they remain the world number ones in the test charts, at least for the time being. So IPL 5 underway, all the fun of the fair, the dancing girls, the blaring music, so on and so forth, the colourful clothing. Before a ball was bowled, a lot of commentators and observers talking about whether or not, I guess the Indian public principally, but also
the worldwide viewing audience still loves this competition and this format, because there was clearly a drop-off in 2011, and that may have been to do with the fact that India had just won the World Cup and they kind of had their fill. Do you sense that IPL 5 is just as popular, even though there's one less team this year?
I think it is, but it's to a point where it's probably going to find its groove now. I think it's the initial boom of it's gone, and now you're into the settling a little bit. Yeah, so you're probably going to get more accurate numbers. But in the end, you know, it's a good production. You know, you get some good games, you get good results. It's pretty exciting. It's got all the glitz and glamour of anything else. I think this will be an interesting year. I don't know what the numbers have been for the viewership in IPL. I haven't been following it.
You'll get sucked in.
Yeah.
We all do.
No, I do like it. I do like it. It's enjoyable.
Chennai and Mumbai suffering a couple of early losses. I think we can probably expect that they will be two of the stronger teams this year again. One team that interests me in particular is Pune, who had a pretty forgettable first season. And then there was all the politics before IPL 5 happened. And one or two, you know, wondered whether or not we'd be down to eight teams and there wouldn't be a Pune Warriors in 2012. So after all the shenanigans off the field, is this a team that can actually produce on the field in 2012, do you think?
I think it can be anybody. These teams don't have any kind of allegiance, really, these long-term allegiance. Players have been moved around, you know, and these guys get together probably a month and a half before the season starts. So it's 2020. There's a couple guys, there's a few guys that can hit the ball around. You might get a few new guys that are different, and that's just basically it. They'll be as competitive as anybody. Maybe not with the Chennais and Mumbais necessarily, because they've had a fairly stable lineup and similar guys in similar roles, which obviously helps them. But it might take them maybe six or half the season to just kind of get into a groove, and you never know. You go on a run and a couple guys start batting well and bowling well. It's anybody's kind of game.
I don't know what you were doing 19 years ago, because it's the last time the West Indies won a test series against Australia. In fact, it's 9 years since the West Indies actually won a test against the Aussies. So the three test series underway and some interesting new players emerging. Interesting to say that Chris Gayle, who won't actually take part in this test series, but apparently has patched up his differences with the West Indies Cricket Board, which is never a bad thing, and may be available to tour England. So a number of storylines coming out of the West Indies.
Yeah, and exciting stuff from the West Indies. I love the West Indies cricket, the way they play it. Obviously, in the past, they're exciting. And world cricket needs them, and they need a guy like Chris Gayle, which is probably why, you know, something was said. And whether or not everyone's on board with it, I think everyone realizes they need Chris Gayle. And this is an exciting time for them. I think, A, they're a team on the move. They've got a good group of cricket players now. They're an exciting group. They're led fairly well by Darren Sammy, who I think is coming to his own, playing better, contributing a lot more in both bat and ball. And they're coming off an Aussie team that's not as strong as they were before. They got a lot of young guys susceptible to a little bit of spin and then sometimes some good pace. So it's going to be interesting. I think if the West Indies are going to do well or beat Australia, this is going to be the series, or at least show the rest of the world that they're competitive.
We'll keep an eye on that series as it progresses. Three test series in the Caribbean. Before we move on, quick word about Canada in action in the ICC Continental Cup, playing in Southern Africa against Namibia, who, of course, they saw at close quarters in the T20 qualifiers, but this is a very different form of cricket.
From all accounts, I think they should do okay. I think the conditions are going to be fairly good. Namibia's had, similar to South Africa, good flat, good wickets for batting. They've played a lot of cricket, so they'll be fairly fresh in terms of being out there in the heat and things like that. They had a long tour in the Dubai qualifiers. Mm-hmm. They came back for about 5 or 6 days, freshen up and see the family, and then back out. So it'll be tough that way, but I think at least they'll keep them, you know, the bodies will still feel like they've got a decent rest and back at it. You know, four-day cricket's a bit tougher. So we'll see how they adapt. I think they'll do okay.
The T20 World Qualifiers got a fair share of publicity because, of course, there was a big prize of getting to Sri Lanka at the end of the season. But in terms of Canadian cricket and developing the first-class cricketers, how important is this competition to the elite cricketers of Canada?
Yeah, I don't think it's all that important, really. Yeah, I like four-day cricket. It's an excellent form of cricket. But I'm not sure what the ICC's role is, or what they're trying to prove with playing two four-day games a year, when it probably could be...
It's not enough.
It's definitely not enough for what we're trying to accomplish. It's just kind of, you know, giving us a taste of red ball cricket. But in the end, it's not anything that I think is going to be sustainable. There's no, you know, you might as well not play it if you're only playing two. If you compare it to like a county season where they play 18, you know, that's a first-class setup. We're not really going for test status at the moment. We're trying to get ODI status, which is a shorter form of game. So,
interesting thoughts. And we will continue on World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.